All right, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 20 today, and then we'll start with this first slide, which is a timeline that we looked at last week, and this is a review, and this is the timeline we're using for our study at the point we stopped last week at Armageddon. Now, what is happening in heaven while we are with Jesus Christ in heaven after he's come for us to take us to be with him is we are engaged in a wedding, and that's where actually, according to Jewish wedding, the marriage is consummated. And then once the marriage is consummated, the bride and the groom have come together, then the bridegroom brings the bride out and presents her to the friends and family, and that is the wedding feast. And we saw that in Revelation 19 last week. And the friends of the bridegroom come to the wedding feast of the bride and the bridegroom. So the king returns. We looked only at Revelation chapter 19, but this is prophesied in Daniel 7, 13, and 14, where it says that Jesus will come on the clouds of heaven like a son of man was coming. He goes to the Ancient of Days, and I want to go down to the end of that. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. From the Father he receives a kingdom which will not be destroyed. Note, in Daniel 7, and in the book of Daniel, and in none of the Old Testament prophets which talk about the kingdom, is there any mention of 1,000 years. The kingdom is viewed in the Old Testament by the believers in the Old Testament as being an everlasting kingdom. So the return of Jesus is prophesied by Daniel, and the point is that the Son of Man comes on the clouds, and he comes on the clouds and he comes to this place called Armageddon. Between Megiddo and Nazareth, coming down from Mount Carmel in the north, down toward the Jordan Rift, is the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo essentially is up north, and it runs between Megiddo and Nazareth, as I said, down toward Jerusalem. And what's happening in this valley is the armies of the earth have been gathered together to go against Jerusalem. And they're going against Jerusalem because that's where the Antichrist has come to defend himself from the armies of the east, the armies of the south, and the armies of the north, which have come to really oppose him. Now, we get that information from the book of Daniel. We really haven't looked at that. That is just something that I'm going to cover in the coming weeks as I look at the millennium itself and the millennial kingdom. Here is Megiddo, and this is called Tel Megiddo because it's an archaeological site. And you're standing on Megiddo, which is a little mountain. You're looking toward this big mountain across the valley, and that's Mount Tabor. And right below Mount Tabor, along the ridge, right here, along this ridge, is Nazareth. And Nazareth is kind of a city or a place kind of by itself on this ridge. And at the time of Jesus' life, it was really kind of a military outpost, which overlooked this valley. So looking at Megiddo from southeast, looking north at Mount Carmel, you can see Megiddo and Nazareth in that relationship I just showed you. If you were standing on Mount Carmel looking south, this is what it would look like. Tabor and Nazareth off in the distance. If you were looking from Nazareth, the Nazareth Ridge, looking south, this is what the valley looks like. You'd be looking toward the Jordan Rift if you're looking this way. So it's a huge, massive valley. And basically today it's farmland and villages. Daniel prophesied Jesus' return. Jesus himself talked about his return. And the return of Jesus is prophesied by Jesus in a private discussion with his disciples. And this is described in Matthew 24:25, called the Olivet Discourse. Jesus answered the question for his disciples, when is the time of your coming and what will the sign of your coming be? Chapter 24:27-31, he describes his coming. He calls himself the Son of Man, just as Daniel did. He says there, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Revelation 19, he called all the birds of the air to come, to feast. And notice that when he comes is after the tribulation, not before the tribulation. And there is a literal tribulation. Jesus has just talked about it in Matthew 24. And he says there's some signs in the heavens. The Son of Man will be coming on the clouds of the sky. And then he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other, from the four points of the compass. And the elect he's talking about here are the people who are around the world who have believed the message of the 144,000, and they're scattered throughout the world. They're going to all be gathered back to Israel. This is the great gathering from the seven-year tribulation. These are people who are alive in physical bodies being drawn back to the land of Israel. This is the great gathering that was prophesied in the Old Testament through all the way back to Moses and the prophets, that Israel will be regathered to the land. That really hasn't happened yet. There is a nation Israel. There are people there who have been gathered back, but it's not the gathering talked about in the prophets, where all of the people of Israel will be gathered back. And now they're being brought back. And this is the great role of the angels in the second coming, which John doesn't even talk about. The angels' part in the second coming or the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19. So the role of the angels in the second coming is to gather the elect, those who are alive on earth. Now these are people who will go in and inhabit the millennium in physical bodies. All right, now let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, 1 through 15. This is the chapter that talks about the portion of the kingdom that's only going to last 1,000 years. So first thing we find out is that Satan gets bound. Satan is not bound now. He's very free and active to go around the world, and having an influence on the world system, tormenting people, tempting people, deceiving nations. But it says in verse 20, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it so that he could not deceive the nations any longer until, and there's an end point, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. There's the whole career of Satan during this 1,000-year millennial reign. 19:20 tell us, if there's just a couple verses above this, tell us that the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. They've already been judged. Notice in verse 20 of 19, the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So these are the first two into the place called the lake of fire. This is the place of torment and the place of suffering. The beast and the false prophet are already there, and they will remain there forever. And they're still there when the 1,000 years are completed. So when the Bible talks about destruction of the unbeliever, he's not talking about annihilation. He's talking about eternal separation from God, a place of torment and regret and mourning and gnashing of teeth. Verse 2, the dragon, the serpent, and the devil are all talked about in verse 2 of chapter 20. This is the same serpent, dragon, that is talked about in Revelation chapter 12. The dragon, who is Satan, who's cast out of heaven, meaning he no longer has access to heaven like he does now. He's cast down to earth. At that point, he indwells the beast and begins to persecute anyone who follows the message of the nation of Israel through the 144,000. That great call going out. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is Jesus, and he's coming. Believe in him. All who believe in him are saved. Then many of them will lose their lives. They'll be martyred. Some of them will survive and go on into the millennium. The dragon is bound for 1,000 years. This is the first use of this number and this phrase in the Bible. It's the first time that it's shown that the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Messiah will be divided into two parts. 1,000-year reign on earth, then the eternal reign in the eternal state after that. So when you read in the epistles, you'll never see Paul talking about the millennium. You go back to the Old Testament, you'll never see the prophets talking about a millennium. That's a term that only we in the church age can use, because we're the only ones that have the information that tells us there's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus. There's no more deception. Notice the abyss is not only shut, it's sealed. He can't get out. But he's released after 1,000 years, and why is he released again? To deceive again. And what this tells us is that the nature of Satan does not change. And you can imagine him being in this abyss, this like bottomless pit, sealed over, shut in. He can't do anything. Imagine 1,000-year-old grudge that he's going to bring with him once he's released. John goes on then and describes the thrones. Now he's going to describe thrones and judgments, chapter 20, verse 4. And let's read that. I saw thrones. Because after Satan is bound, he sees thrones. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. Those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now when it says in the beginning of verse 4, it says, these are the resurrected saints who returned with him. They are the ones who are going to sit on thrones and have judgment along with Jesus Christ. They're going to be judges with Jesus Christ. And judgment was given to them. Go back to Revelation 2:26. Who is it that gets to judge with Jesus Christ? It says, he who overcomes. Now, who are the overcomers? Those who have faith in Jesus Christ. We overcome by our faith. This is the church. These are the people who are going to be removed before the tribulation begins. He who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give him authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. So he's promising the saints here at the church of Thyatira, those who are faithful, those who are overcomers, they will rule with him. Look at 3:21. It says in verse 21 at the end, he who overcomes, who believes in me, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Who are going to reign with him in his everlasting kingdom? Believers of the church age, his bride. So if Jesus is the king of the kingdom, the bride is the queen of the kingdom. And then go back to 1 Corinthians 6. 6:2. Do you not know? And Paul's asking this question as if, look, I've already taught this, you should know this. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And he's talking about church age saints will judge the world. And if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? I mean, do you have to go before unbelievers? If you're going to end up judging the world, why take another believer to court? Look at verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? So we will be judges over the angels who are God's ministers to us right now. I take it this includes all of angels, including fallen angels. We will be judges over all of them. We will really have our place as God intended. He created man to be over angels. But when man fell, who did he fall to? Temptation of an angel called Lucifer or Satan. And then man is now placed under the authority of an angel who has fallen. And we are now living in a world that's controlled and dominated by Satan himself. The next sentence talks about the souls that John sees in verse 4. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus had not taken the mark of the beast and had not worshipped his image. And it says down at the end of the verse, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So John sees souls, and these souls are in heaven. And we saw them back in Revelation chapter 6 under the fifth seal as being under the altar saying, God, when are you going to avenge our blood? Well, God avenged their blood by pouring out wrath. Jesus Christ comes at Armageddon. Now these souls that are under the altar and in heaven with Jesus Christ are going to be resurrected. And it says they came to life. The they here now are a totally different group. They now come to life and they also reign for 1,000 years. And that's going to be stated in verse 6, and we'll get to that in a minute. Now these saints, these souls, now have resurrected bodies, and they are going to reign over the living saints. Now the next group, and John doesn't mention them, the next group to come to life are Old Testament saints. John doesn't even mention them, because that's already been talked about in the Old Testament. John's not going to talk about something that's already been taught in the first 39 books of the Bible. And you know, when you come to the book of Revelation, John assumes you've already spent enough time understanding the first 39 books, so he doesn't have to explain everything here. So all of you have already come with a full understanding of the first 39 books, so you can understand what he's teaching here. Now, we laugh because we know that that really doesn't happen. And that's talked about in Daniel 12 verses 2 and 13. If you get to Daniel 12, in verse 2, you'll see this. This is an angel giving Daniel information about what's going to come in the end. And this whole vision actually starts at chapter 10. Chapter 10, 11, and 12 of Daniel are one vision. And he's coming to the end of the vision, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, and that's the end time, because that's what he's been talking about in the whole vision, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book of life, will be rescued. So all those written in the book of life, according to Daniel, are going to be rescued one way or another. They're either going to die and then be resurrected, or they're going to survive the entire period. Now, Michael standing is described in Revelation chapter 12, where he does battle with the dragon and throws him out of heaven. He no longer has access to heaven. Verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. Some of these people in this time of tribulation will die. And many of the people who died in the Old Testament who are in the ground at the time that Daniel's getting his vision, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're in the ground. They sleep in the dust. They're going to be raised. And it says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Now, who are the these in verse 2? Those who are found written in the book of life. Anyone not written in the book of life will be raised to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Now, there's a comma between everlasting life and the word but the others. That's a 1,000-year gap not revealed in the book of Daniel. Where do we get the 1,000-year gap between those raised to everlasting life and the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt? Not until we come to the book of Revelation written by John. Now I'll go down to verse 13. At the end of the vision, the angel says to Daniel, go your way. Go your way to the end. And then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion, your reward, at the end of the age. And what's the end of the age? The end of the age, talked about here, is that period of time that goes all the way through to the end of the tribulation when Messiah comes to establish his kingdom. It's not talking about the end of the church age. It's talking about the end of the age that he's in, which is the end of the 70 weeks, which he's just been told about in chapter 9. It's the end of the age when Messiah comes. The end of this age and the beginning of the new age. That's when the angel says to Daniel, you'll be resurrected. And you'll receive your reward. And his reward will be great, I'm sure, for his faithfulness and his testimony. John 5. On our way back to Revelation, let's look at John 5. Chapter 5, verses 24 is where he starts. Because you have to start in 24. Because this is where the assurance is. Where Jesus says in 5:24, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's your present possession. And he goes on to say, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And that means resurrected life. You're not going to suffer eternal death. You're going to have eternal life. Now look at 28:29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did the good to a resurrection of life and those who committed the evil to a resurrection of judgment or death. Now, notice there's a comma there too, after life and those who committed evil. That's a 1,000-year gap. There's a 1,000-year gap between all of those who are resurrected to life and then those who are resurrected to death, eternal death. And Jesus talks just like Daniel. There's going to be two resurrections. One group to eternal life, another group to eternal damnation. Okay, let's go back to the book of Revelation. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6 now. Because now he's going to talk about the blessing of the first resurrection. Now notice verse 5. He gives a little parenthetical statement here when he says that the tribulation saints are going to come to life and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. He says that in verse 4. He says in verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. That's a sentence, a little parenthetical information, because he's trying to explain exactly what Daniel has said and what Jesus has said. There's going to be two resurrections. He's talked about a resurrection in verse 4. Tribulation saints. He doesn't talk about the church saints because they're already done. He doesn't talk about the Old Testament saints because that's already been talked about in the Old Testament. He talks about the tribulation saints because they've never been talked about before this directly. He gives this parenthetical statement. The rest of the people who worship the beast, who took the mark, they're going to be raised later. And then he goes on and he says, this is the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? Everything he said in verse 4, which includes church age saints, tribulation saints, and Old Testament saints. Meaning the believers, the all unbelievers of all ages are talked about in verse 5, and any dead who are not resurrected before the kingdom begins are talked about in verse 5. And these souls are waiting in Hades, and they are resurrected after the 1,000 years. That's in verse 12. Verse 12 says, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. These are what he's talking about in the rest of the dead. Everybody else, all unbelievers from all ages. Now in verse 6, when he says, after he says, this is the first resurrection, it flows right into verse 6. The blessed resurrected saints reign for 1,000 years. These saints died once because they died in the tribulation or they died in the Old Testament. Because he's bringing all these together now. These people all died once and went to the grave, but now they're being raised to eternal life. Never to die again. The wicked, died once, they have not been raised, they will suffer eternal death. They're going to die twice. One death is to the grave, it's for the physical body. The next death is eternal. It's eternal torment, destruction, but not annihilation. Verse 7 talks about Satan's release, as promised in verse 3. Verse 7, after the 1,000 years are complete, look at that. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. What's the number of people who are going to follow him and be deceived by him? They came upon the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. That's Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. Notice, 1,000 years later, they're still there. They're not gone. They're still there. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So the devil never changes, but neither does man. That is what the millennial kingdom teaches. That is the purpose and the point of the millennial kingdom. God could have just said, Jesus Christ come, put the wicked into hell, brought all saints from all time to heaven, and said, that's it. You people who are now in heaven showed how when Satan is no longer around, you're going to be good people. You're going to follow my word. No, the millennium proves the depravity of man, that man does not change apart from the work of this Holy Spirit in our lives, apart from God's calling. The man does not change. Man is totally and utterly depraved, meaning he's unwilling to turn to God. Not only is he unwilling, he's unable to turn to God without the Holy Spirit. See, here you had Satan lose his access to heaven and was cast to earth. Remember what it said in Revelation 12? He was very, very angry and he went out to torment the woman and her offspring. Imagine how angry he is now after being sealed in a dark place for 1,000 years. He's lost his access to earth even, but now he gets it back. So it's the deceiver and the deceived. There's this great Gog and Magog revisited. And there's a Gog-Magog battle described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that takes place during the tribulation. The nations surround Jerusalem. It's Armageddon again. And you know what verse 9 describes? They came upon the broad plain, they attacked the city. This is insanity. The true definition of insanity, I try the same behavior with the same result. He's already done this once, and it failed. How did he think he would succeed this time? And Satan's final judgments in verse 10. And there's the false trinity now fully reunited again. As we saw from chapter 13, it's the dragon empowers the beast. He also empowers the false prophet. These three together are working to deceive the nations. They're finally reunited in the lake of fire. He's the first angel now into the lake of fire. And remember what Jesus said. The lake of fire is the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet, through Satan being able to come down and tempt Eve and cause the fall of man through Adam, now the lake of fire, prepared for angels, is now a place where men will go who reject him. Now 20:11 through 15 is the final throne, the final judgment. And this is the great white throne and him. Look at 11 through 15. I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whom the presence of earth and heaven fled away. And no place was found for them. That's earth and heaven. No earth and heaven anymore. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing. Wait a minute. Dead men don't stand. We know that. But resurrected dead men stand. And these are dead unbelievers, resurrected now with eternal bodies. I don't want to use the term glorified body because they're not going to glory. But these are eternally survivable bodies that are going to destruction. The destruction that's forever. And they're standing before the throne, and books are opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there's the book of life, and then there's this big stack of books. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books. And I take it here, what it's describing is there's this stack of books. There's one book for every man. And in that book, there's all of his deeds. And he's going to be judged according to his deeds. What you have done is going to determine the level of your punishment in the lake of fire. Paul talked about this in the book of Romans in chapter 2 when he says men will stand with a warehouse of their sins to stand in judgment against them. Romans chapter 2. We studied that. Remember when we studied that? But they're going to be judged according to their deeds. Jesus said it in John chapter 5 verse 22, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. So on this great white throne, is one who sits, and him who sits upon it, that's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself is on this throne judging all men. Paul said that also in the book of Romans. Judgment is going to come through Jesus Christ on the authority of God the Father. Now, heaven and earth flee away. We find this out 2 Peter 3:10 through 13. Peter says the world is going to be destroyed with fire. God promised he wouldn't do it with water, but he's going to do it with fire at the end. And once that happens, the heaven and earth are completely and utterly and totally destroyed. Peter is talking about the very end. He's describing that without knowing that there's going to be a 1,000-year break. Hadn't been revealed to Peter, but he's describing the very end. The very end is also described in verse 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. A new heaven and a new earth, for the first one had passed away. Where'd the first one go? When the great white throne was set up, earth and heaven flee. Verse 1 of chapter 21 begins a description of what it's going to be like in the new heavens and the new earth. So the dead are now resurrected and they're now judged, and the books are the book of works. I think each book for each person, and the book of life, one book, and they're judged according to their works. The book of life is opened because what's going to happen? Man's going to be standing before the great white throne. Jesus is going to say, let's see, is your book in this book the book of life? No, it's not. Okay, we're going to look at your book and you're going to be judged according to your works. Because I did a work on your behalf which you rejected. Which, if you had accepted, you would be in the book of life. But you're not there. So you're going to stand on the merit of your own works. And on the basis of your own works, you're going to experience eternal destruction. Because the wages of sin is death. It's not church membership, by the way. That if you join the church, your sins will be taken away. No, that's not the wages of sin. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It's not giving money. It's not anything we do. Saying prayers, going to church services. It's not anything we do. It's the wages of sin is death. And the only way we get that debt paid is by someone else, Jesus Christ on the cross. And so their name is not in the book of life. They're judged according to their works. And verse 13, these are all dead from all ages and all places, and the second death is the lake of fire. And look at Revelation 17:8. Those who dwell on the earth will wonder when they see the beast. They're going to follow the beast and wonder. Those who dwell on the earth, the earth dwellers who worship the beast, everyone whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So that answers the question, well, how did I get my name into the book of life? It's really nothing I did. It's there from the foundation of the world. Your name is in the book of life. God calls. The Holy Spirit gives you light. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death for me, his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells me forever and seals me forever. And I go on then to live a life sanctified and being made holy by God through the power of the Holy Spirit until the point that he glorifies me. And that's because my name is in the book of life. And that's what is opened here at this final judgment. So let's go back. Let's review where we've been. Jesus comes for his church at the rapture. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the gathering of Israel into the land. That happens at the very end of the tribulation. We're not looking for the temple to be rebuilt. We're not looking for the Antichrist. Don't even try to figure out who he is. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come for us in the air to take us home as his bride, to consummate the marriage that has been contracted back when Jesus was still in his earthly ministry. Because Jesus told his disciples, I will build my church. I am going to get the bride my Father has promised for me. So the wedding will take place in heaven. Then he will come back with his church, with his bride for the wedding feast. This is Jesus Christ reigning for 1,000 years, but Jesus Christ will reign forever. But we're just going to look at the 1,000-year period. After Armageddon, he has come with his church. And the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And right after that, Satan is bound. And he's bound for 1,000 years. And in heaven, the thrones are set up. And the tribulation saints are raised. And then the Old Testament saints are raised. And all of this group of saints, in one way or another, in some capacity, in the kingdom, all these resurrected saints are going to rule with Jesus Christ on thrones. It was promised in the Old Testament that those who would go into the kingdom are going to rule with Messiah. Didn't name him as Jesus, but they would rule with Messiah. So what happens after the 1,000 years is Satan is freed. Jesus Christ sends down fire from heaven. Satan gets beat, gets thrown in a lake of fire. What happens next? Jesus sets up the great white throne. Heaven and earth flee, they're destroyed, and the dead then from the great white throne are cast into the lake of fire. Now you got every unbeliever, everybody in the lake of fire. And then you have the new heavens and the new earth that goes on now into eternity. Now let's look at this from another perspective. Let's talk about all raised believers. Raised believers are saints. From the church age, from the tribulation, and the Old Testament are all in heaven. And Jesus has come to rule on earth with us in glorified bodies over the millennial kingdom and on into the eternal state. And the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. What happens is only believers come in to the millennial kingdom in living bodies. Only believers. These are the believers the angels have gathered from the four points of the earth. The unbelievers after Armageddon are all below the black line. They're in the grave. And we call that Hades. So they're all there. They're there with all the rest of the dead unbelievers from all time. So after Armageddon, there's this great separation. The sheep-goat judgments. We're going to look at that in a couple weeks. Sheep go into the kingdom. The goats go to Hades. And that's where they're going to stay for 1,000 years. Now the believers have children because they have physical bodies and they're going to populate the millennial kingdom. So it's believers having children. You know, this is very much like Noah and his family after the flood. When they came out of the ark, what did God tell them to do? Scatter and populate the earth. And so we are all actually literally descendants of the family of Noah. So they have children. Some of these children are saved. They're going to come to a recognition that I am a sinner, and this king who sits on the throne, I'm a sinner. He saved me back in time at the cross. They believe, they get saved. There's going to be a multitude of people who are unsaved. They will reject his rule and authority. They're going to have a very difficult time in acting out against him. They won't be able to form any kind of coalition against him until what? Until Satan is released. Once Satan is released and gathers this army of people who are willing to follow him, that's the end. And the saved are translated and taken directly into the kingdom. Now, I hold that no believer who enters the millennial kingdom will ever die, will ever suffer physical death. They will go on to live the entire 1,000 years. And I don't think it's any stretch because Methuselah and the people who lived before the flood lived almost 1,000 years. So it's not that great a stretch. I hold that there are no believers, either among these believers here or these saved children, ever experience physical death in the millennial kingdom. But these children, these unsaved children, they will experience physical death in the millennial kingdom for sin. They'll be judged for sin and their lives will be taken. They will be placed into Hades along with all the rest of the unbelievers. And they will be there until the great white throne judgment. And so these saved from the kingdom will be translated or raptured just like we were at the end of the church age and taken to heaven, and they will then also be observers of this great white throne judgment. And now the great white throne unbelievers will be cast all into the lake of fire. So now here at the end, going on into eternity, you have Satan and all the angels, because that's why hell was created, and all of the dead will go on into eternity forever. Suffering torment. There will be those who will suffer torment forever and ever. Dear Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you that